Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship this morning. Whether you are here in this rainy Cornwall or joining us somewhere online, it is a pleasure to welcome all to worship this morning. This morning is a communion service, and so at the appropriate time, we will be celebrating at Christ's table. During COVID, we began expanding the table beyond the walls of this place into homes here and far away. So for members of the congregation who received their communion cups this week, who are shut in and unable to be here, have them ready for those who are joining us and would like to join in communion. Cracker, a juice. Some stay at home just because they have better wine. I hope you know that. So as you prepare, be prepared for the celebration of the sacrament at the appropriate time. We also this morning, we're going to try a couple of new things happening in worship this morning. So if we look discombobulated, just go with it. But one of the new things we're going to try is at the end of worship this morning, a couple of the elders are going to take a tray to the back of the church so that you can bring your glass and put it back into a tray. It's one of the little joys of worship on Communion Sunday is that the session gets to play scavenger hunt at the end of worship and try to find where you hid the little glasses. You are good. We always miss a glass or two. So if you wouldn't mind bringing your glasses to the back and placing them in the trays, that will just aid the session as they seek to clean up following the communion. This morning also, we welcome into the fellowship of the church by resolution of session Linda Vanderschaaf and Michael Nolan, who are formerly members at Calvin Presbyterian Church in North Bay and now are members with us. So that will happen following the sermon this morning. Graduate Sunday is at the end of the month on June 28th. I think we've figured out that we only have one graduate this year, which is Roy Choi. Now, if you know of another graduate, this is your warning that we don't know about them yet. So please, if you know of another high school graduate, let us know in the church office so we can celebrate their accomplishments on the 28th and then plan to stay following worship that day for a luncheon. And finally, over the summer, my leash is just a little tight. Over the summer, we will be continuing with our celebration on the Psalms, and during the month of July, we will be looking at people's favorite Psalms. And so if you have a favorite psalm, one that speaks to you that you would like to have included in worship during the month of July, speak to me and we will make it so. There are, after I say finally, of course, and I add one last bulletin, lists of things that we are looking for our new refugee family who will be arriving 10 days from today. So things are drawing near. We're trying to collect all of the important stuff for them so that they can move into an apartment and begin acclimatization to life in Canada. So please, the list is here. You can pick up a tag at the back during coffee hour to let us know that you're getting that particular thing for the family, and we would be most grateful.
I wouldn't let him forget me today. Ooh, sorry about that. Jeepers. Everybody's awake now. Session met last Tuesday, and it was quite a lengthy meeting, and I know this is Communion Sunday, so I shortened it out and put much of the information I would have said in a little insert for you, but I wanted to keep our discussion on the roof separate and tell you so that you were able to hear it. There are also, though, if you want this text, I put a copy at the doors for you if you'd like to read it as well as hear it. Excuse me. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Psalm 100, which is a jubilant hymn of thanksgiving and praise. Our sympathies are extended to the Wilson family on the passing of their loved one, David, last week. And Archie McDougall has moved to Ted Laurier, and Bill Hope has moved to the Janet McDonnell Pavilion. And I bet you both of them would enjoy visitors from our church family. Bob Martin, our new property chair, has been following up on investigations started in 2025 by Keppel Barreth and the trustees regarding the roof over Caldwell Hall. Four estimates have now been secured. And I use the word estimates because no one can really say how much something might cost once things get opened up out there. If there might be damage underneath, we don't know. Keppel and Bob have been up on the roof several times with contractors, and it is evident that the upper roof above the gym is in need of replacement immediately. The thinking is that the lower roof will last a little longer, so we're okay there. Session accepted the estimate from a company called Ottawa Elite, and Bob will work with the contractor to ensure that the work begins as soon as possible. The new roof will be a TPO membrane, which is a chemically altered rubber, 60 to 80 milliliters thick, for all of you out there who knows what that means. Once rolled out, the membrane is sealed on the joints, and a light color material will provide some heat reduction benefits in the summer months. The estimate is approximately $91,000, which is a little less than what I had originally mentioned to you last month. The project will be paid for through the Major Projects Fund, which currently has $12,000 in it, and a loan from the allocated account. As a congregation, we will work over the next year to pay this loan back. Various fundraising activities will take place, as well as a letter and visitation campaign for pledges from everyone associated with our St. John's community. Session did note that a discussion should be had about the viability of our building. It is old, as we know, we're celebrating 240 next year, and old buildings are costly. We need to consider how committed we are to with this building. Things that are needing to be replaced in the near future are our heating system, these upper sanctuary windows, which are rotting, and more masonry, in addition to what we've already completed on the west side. It is very important that a decision be made about staying here or finding a new, less costly place to worship before we continue to commit spending money on upkeep and repairs. We extend our heartfelt thanks to Bob and to Keppel for their work with us. Thank you.
And as we move into worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his path. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Here in this place, there are no foreigners.
For the love of God welcomes us all.
Here in this place, there are no outsiders.
The love of God embraces us all.
Here in this place, there are no strangers.
For the love of God unites us all.
Come, let us worship God in unity and in love. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in Jesus Christ, your word incarnate, you came down from heaven to show us the fullness of your love, active, involved, and immersive. May that same love that was revealed to us be reflected not just in our words, but in each small act we do each day as we reach out in kindness to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is All Are Welcome, and the words will appear on the screen. Please be seated. We join our hearts and voices in the prayer of confession. The prayer is responsive this morning, not unison. So look for your place on the screens and pray appropriately. Let us pray. Knowing that our God walks with us in our confession, our doubts, our failings, and our struggles, we come now humbly before God to ask for mercy. For the times we fail to offer hospitality to those in our world who suffer injustice, oppression, and poverty, we pray, God, have mercy on us, your people. For the times we lack courage to address the causes of injustice, oppression, and poverty, we pray to our God, God, have mercy on us and on your people. For the times we give in to despair and resignation, when confronted with the injustice of our world, we pray to our God, God, have mercy on us, your people. For the times we allow our fears to triumph over the call to solidarity, we pray to our God, God, have mercy on us and on your people. Merciful God, receive our petitions. Heal the brokenness in our hearts and in our world caused by injustice, indifference, selfishness, and fear. Open our hearts to hear the cries of your suffering people. Support us as we seek to respond in solidarity and with hospitality. Amen. Friends, the wideness of God's mercy, the range of God's forgiveness, the infinite love of God, the heart of hope which is never empty, all these gifts are ours as God restores us to the fullness of life that has been meant for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as God has been forgiving to us, we are to be forgiving of one another and to show one another signs of hospitality and peace. Let us now take a moment to share with one another a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is 758, Christ is the World.
Christ makes with his friends a touching place.
We'd love to have you join us this morning. Come on, Willem Ainsley, come up front here. Good morning. Come on and sit over here with my friends. And I guess if you sit with my friends, then that makes you friends too. And three new friends. I'm going to try. What are your names this morning? Well, they're your name every morning, I know, but I'm going to learn them this morning. What's your name?
Audrey.
Audrey? You guys have been here before, haven't you? Yeah, I remember Audrey. And your mom's name is Audrey, too. Is that right? Do I have that right? Angela and Angela. Angela? Angela. Okay. Audrey and Angela and Tracy. Cool. Nice to have you guys back. And do you know Willem and Ainsley? Willem and Ainsley. This is Audrey and Angela and Tracy. And that's Cynthia. This morning, we're talking about something special. This morning, and as part of our worship, we're going to talk about the work of one of the agencies here in Canada that does work with many people, actually. Many of them, most, or if not all of them, overseas. And that's the Canada Food Grains Bank, which feeds people around the world because of the generosity of Christians here in Canada. And the story that I want to share with you this morning, this is Angeline. And Angeline is a 10-year-old girl who lived in a small tent with her family in a country far, far away called Jordan. Phyllis isn't here this morning. Phyllis Bateman, who belongs to the congregation here, her daughter has spent the last several years in Jordan. So she lived in a small tent city in Jordan. She cannot go to school, and she is often hungry. There's no plumbing for water or no heat to stay warm when it gets cold. Angeline's life wasn't always like this. She grew up living very much like we do, in a home with her family in a peaceful city where she went to school and played with her friends. But one day, everything changed for Angeline. A number of people in her home country of Syria were not getting enough to eat. Many became unhappy with the Syrian government and started to complain about it. The Syrian government didn't like this and responded with violence, killing some people. This meant that others had to leave the country. And so Angelina, along with her family, left the country for safety. Her school was destroyed, and some of her friends and family were killed, too. They found a camp in, where did you go? Do you remember? Oh, you got it. Jordan. They found a camp in Jordan, where many other refugees like Angeline and her family were living in tents. There were thousands of people in this camp who had fled Syria looking for somewhere, place safe to live. Though Angeline and her family were safe at the camp, her parents felt that it was too crowded and was an unhealthy place for Angeline and her brothers and sisters to grow up. And so once again, they packed up all of their belongings and they left. They found a place where nobody else was living outside of a big city, and they set their tent up there. They laid out some mats to sleep on, and someone gave them a TV to watch. And since Angeline and her family cannot go to school and have no friends living nearby to play with. Though it is crowded and uncomfortable, Angeline and her family receive food from Canada Food Grains Bank and its member in the country where she lives called World Renew. This helps ensure that Angeline and her family have enough to eat. Her parents can spend their money on other things that they need, such as a heater for their tent and to keep them warm through the winter. Angeline is grateful for the people that are helping her and her family, and she hopes that the fighting will stop soon so that she can go home and return to her way of life the way it used to be in a peaceful city where she can go to school and play with friends. So that's the story of Angeline. And that's the story that we keep in our minds this morning as we think about the people who live in other parts of our world and who are in need of our help, and then how we can be of aid to them. So that's what we're talking about up here. Now, I know there's going to be something different downstairs. What are we doing downstairs this morning, Trish? The parable of the sower. Cool. We didn't plan this at all. But you'll be hearing about the parable of the sower downstairs this morning while we hear more about Food Grains Bank and a woman named Ruth. So thank you so much for being here this morning. And if you want to go down for Sunday school, you can go with Trish and with Willem and Ainsley, and we'll see everybody after worship. I can't wait to hear what you learn in Sunday school today. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Loving God, you provide for our every need. You feed our bodies and our souls, yet we hunger to know and love you more and more. Nourish us today with your word. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 24, verses 17 to 22. Let us hear the word of God. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. And from Ruth 1 to 2. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The young man who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that did not know you, that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles, and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, saying, "The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women. Otherwise, someone might bother you in another field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 146, and the words will appear before you on the screen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God all my life.
Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
Their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plan shall perish.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
And our reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning is a dramatic reading, and you have a part. There's a narrator, Cynthia. There's a king. I guess that'll be me. I know, typecasting, right? And then there is the left side, so everybody on this side, you are the left side, and you guessed it, the right side, that is you all. So we will read together in dramatic fashion the reading Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and then the king will say to those on his right,
Come, you that are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.
Then the righteous will answer him,
Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?
When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need any clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?
Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did to me.
Then he will say to those on his left,
Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.
They will also answer,
Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? Or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?
Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me.
Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, as we pause for a minute and think about those texts, including one very long reading from the book of Ruth. Thank you for that. We are reminded that we are called to care for the last and the least among us. It's the unavoidable headline in our newspapers or online, depending on where you consume your news from. Some war or some natural disaster or act of discrimination, and people are on the move. People fleeing violence, homeless and alone, looking for a place to call their own. Refugees, looking for new life and renewed hope. And while there are those in certain corners of the political discourse who would like us to believe that this is some sort of new phenomenon, people leaving their home countries for other places and better lives, as we turn to Scripture this morning, what becomes obvious to us is that those who flee from their homelands for a new life are as old as time itself. One might argue that the first refugees recorded in history are Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, who have been expelled from the Garden of Eden because of their sin and are on the move. And from that time on, humanity began to wander across the face of the earth. And these wanderers, people without a home, occupied a special place in the heart of God. Time and again, as we shall see this morning, God gives special commandments for those who wander the face of the earth. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. This morning we've heard the opening verses of the story of Ruth and of Naomi. Naomi was a refugee. Twice. Did you catch it? As the book opens, the author notes that Naomi and her husband Elimelech had left their homeland of Bethlehem in Judea and traveled to Moab because there was a famine in the land of Judah. And as the story pulls us into the present time, Naomi, now a widow, seeks to return home to the land of her own people, where she had others to care for her. Like the refugees we hear of in the news, the life of a widow in biblical times was a life that was precarious. She would have been referred to today as an economic refugee. Without a husband to provide for her, she was completely on her own and dependent upon the mercy of others. And as here with Naomi, often their best choice was to return to their father's household, where they would become to their husband's father's household. We are in a patriarchal society, after all. Where they would become part of that larger family group. This is the reason that that Naomi is on the move. And this is also the reason why she attempts to send her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, back to their father-in-law's households, because they too were widows. After they had arrived back in the land of Judah, Ruth goes out into the fields to glean some barley for herself and her mother-in-law. She intended to take advantage of this command that we found in Scripture that we've heard from Deuteronomy chapter 24 to pick up the grain that has been left on the ground after the harvesters have gone through the field. But as good fortune would have it, Ruth is gleaning in the field of Boaz. Boaz, who is one of the clan of Elimelech, and assuming that he knew the plight of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Boaz not only allowed her to glean from the field, but ordered his workers not to harass her, to be generous with her, to leave more than what they would normally leave behind, and to even draw stalks out of the sheaves for her. I think for many, the story of Ruth is a curious one as we read Scripture. Often in worship, we read these first couple of chapters of Ruth without getting to the end of the book. We celebrate Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi. The words of Ruth's affirmation to Naomi when bidden to leave her and return to her own people are the stuff of soloists at weddings. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where I go, you will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. But Ruth's story is far more significant than just that, just her fidelity to her mother-in-law. Beyond her fidelity to Naomi, Ruth is remembered in Hebrew scriptures because the child that she bears to Boaz, that's another chapter, goes on to become the grandfather of David, who is the king. The story of Ruth is how God can use our misfortunes to work out the plans of God in our lives and in our world. As people of faith, the words that we have heard in Scripture today are words for us as well. Throughout its history, the Church of Jesus Christ has continued to embody this example of radical acceptance and radical hospitality, to care for the last and the least among us, to care for the sick, for the weak, for those who are in need, because we remember. As Deuteronomy reminded the children of God, they were once slaves in the land of Egypt. As the story of Ruth reminds us, sorrow and misfortune can fall upon us all. There, but for the grace of God, go I. And our calling as faithful people is to see the face, our face, in the faces of others, and to reach out to others with the same compassion that we would wish was offered to us. Our mission focus this month is the Canada Food Grains Bank, which was initiated by a group of Canadian farmers who looked at the plight of the hungry in our world and their own full grain bins and simply said, "We can do something about that." They began working with grain elevators to set aside a portion of their crops for use around the world to feed the hungry. And along the way, it has grown. Today, congregations support the Food Grains Bank by giving donations to their work, by sponsoring growing projects in partnership with local farmers so that they can indeed feed the hungry, and in working through church relief and development agencies, non-governmental organizations, and the Government of Canada to distribute all of this aid around the world. Through all of the major crises of our time, from Sudan to Syria and beyond, Food Grains Bank has been there providing food and aid and support, helping refugees and those fleeing conflict and drought to have a life. And we have been the benefactors. Across Canada, congregations have been enlivened as refugees become part of their communities of faith, new Canadians, and they show us once more in real terms the goodness of God. Let us then heed God's command to follow and to be part of his great plan for all people. When you reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all of the work of your hands. You shall remember that you were a slave once in the land of Egypt, and therefore, I command you to do this. Thanks be to God. Amen. A slight change in the order that is in the bulletin this morning. We're going to proceed with the reception of new members now, and then in a moment we will join back.
Michael Nolan and Linda Vanderschaeff have been received into the membership of this congregation by resolution of session.
And we invite Michael and Linda to join us at the front. Friends, as members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we welcome you to the worship and work of this people of God. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Therefore, I ask you, do you promise to be faithful members of this congregation, to give of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ? I invite the congregation to stand. As together, in one voice, we affirm our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed, and the creed will appear before us on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into one body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number these brothers and sisters in faith. Together may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory. Amen. And usually it's just one elder and the minister who extend the right hand of fellowship to you, but since all of the elders are up front, or most of them this morning, we will do a big right hand of fellowship. So welcome. And you may return to your seats, and thank you. And the congregation may be seated. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to God.
God Almighty's praise.
God of the widow and orphans, the immigrants and refugees, you have promised justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, freedom for the prisoner, and relief to all who are burdened. In Christ, you offer life to all. Open our hearts and minds to see what you see, to love as you love, to give as you have given, so that your promised justice would become a reality here in this world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we turn now to sing the hymn 539, You Satisfy the Hungry Heart, hymn 539 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. 538. Yeah, okay. Because 539 is actually the Apostles' Creed. I know that. 538 is the hymn. Please be seated. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at the table that God has prepared. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior Jesus invites all those who trust in him to share in the feast that he has prepared for you. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. As we come to God's table, let us give thanks as we say the great prayer of thanksgiving. And as you may remember, there are responses that come throughout the prayer, and you are invited to join some brief prompts, and then the responses will appear on the screens, or you can find all of this information on page 564 in the Book of Praise. We begin responsively. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
O holy God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, with joy we give you thanks and praise. You formed the universe in your wisdom and created all things by your power. You set us in families on earth to live with you in faith. And we praise you for good gifts of bread and wine, and for the table you spread in the world as a sign of your love for all people in Christ. Great and wonderful are your works, Almighty God. Your ways are just and true. With people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy. Holy, holy, holy God of power and majesty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived with us, sharing our joy and our sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend to sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by men he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring us into your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him. Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people. Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord. Receive new life and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Gracious God, who called us from life to death, we give ourselves to you, and with the church through all ages, we thank you for your saving love, made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the death of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. You're just serving me. It's you, John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. The prayer of thanksgiving is on the screens before you. God, we are aliens and sojourners in this world, but you invite us to be your guests as you lavishly offer us your hospitality at this table and lovingly welcome us into your family. You invite us to share in the abundance of your kingdom. God, you have shown us that providing hospitality to strangers opens a door into the kingdom of God. Remind us that when we offer hospitality to others, we are receiving Christ into our midst and so fulfilling the law of love. We open our hearts to embrace the stranger, the friend, the rich, and the poor. We open our lives to offer a generous heart toward all. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is the hymn, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us, number 674 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
647.
What did I say?
674.
Oh, good. I'm having a great morning this morning.
Number 647.
You can read the slide. And now, as you have been loved, love. As you have been welcomed, welcome. As you have been fed, feed. As you have received, give. And may the boundless love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.